Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery, code Wondery.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code AUDIO to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code AUDIO at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code AUDIO.
Greetings, pod monkeys. It's the Nerdist Podcast number 327. I'd like to thank Carbonite for sponsoring this episode of the Nerdist Podcast. It's online backup. I know, you're probably like, hey, why should I back up my stuff at all? Well, because you'll lose it, because computers die. I'm sorry, Timmy. All computers die. And there is no computer heaven. Or is there? You could back it up to the cloud. That's like heaven, and it's a cloud. That's a traditional view of what heaven is. So maybe your files can live on somewhere, but you really have to be protected. And Carbonite is online, offsite, in the cloud backup. And they're just automatically backed up, continually backed up, runs in the background, doesn't get in your way. And then when your computer eats itself and then takes a crap on your desk, then you get all your files back. They're kept securely. It's super easy to restore them. It's your better backup plan for home and small business, Carbonite. Plans start at just $59 a year. Start your free trial today at Carbonite.com with the offer code Nerdist. And get 2 bonus months with purchase. That is Carbonite.com. Enter the promo code Nerdist. I'm going to be on the road a lot doing stand-ups. And soon, as soon as Talking Dead and as soon as Talking Dead stops, well, it's live, but I guess we tape it, and the BBC show, which premieres March 30th, I will be on the road doing dates around the country. Oh, places like New York and Portland and Madison, Wisconsin, and Denver. Oh, these are fun. We're doing a live podcast March 15th in Grand Rapids for Gilda's Laugh Fest. And then we're doing March 29th in Anaheim, California, a Nerdist Podcast Live during WonderCon. So those are 2 podcasts. The rest are me doing stand-up, all new stuff, not the same stuff if you saw the Mandroid special. And so come out. Nerdist.com/calendar is how you would find information for that or all of those, just in case you want to go to every show. This episode is our dear old friend Nick Kroll, whose show, The Kroll Show, is on Comedy Central. Actually, I think it's just Kroll Show, not The. It does make a difference. I mean, if we're being picky about it, it really does. It's Kroll Show. And it's Wednesdays on Comedy Central, 10:30, 9 Central Time. So watch it, because Nick is a lovely and absolutely hilarious. And this is a really fun podcast. Jonah wasn't here. He was in Boston taping his half-hour Comedy Central special. So throw him a congratulations for taping his half-hour special. Haven't heard about it. I haven't talked to him, because he just taped it. But I have a feeling it went pretty well, because he's funny. So here we go. Nerdist Podcast number 327 with Nick Kroll. I like how I get louder right at the end. Ending the thought.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Nick Kroll and Matt Myra are talking about watching The Notebook.
We're trying to figure out which movie Nick interrupted.
I remember it being very bad. Uh-huh. It was me, Eugene, Joe Mandy, Doug, and it was...
So it was like the first weekend, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember what it was.
How can I not remember? I just remember it not being good.
I never saw The Notebook.
It's tough. Well, The Notebook's not great.
It's not?
No, it's not.
How do you feel about a long-haired Gosling?
Well, I mean, he's very handsome.
That sounds like an animal, the pet that you could buy. I got one of these long-haired Goslings.
They're a little
I just
vicious.
Fuck it all yeah. day long.
We have bred an animal that you can sleep with.
They actually prefer closed spaces. They don't need to be outside.
It's a long-haired gosling.
It's basically it's like a tough, dog with abs.
Yeah, and it's sensitive, but also tough.
Yeah.
It's like good. It'll throw you around, but just the right amount.
It's one of those dogs with obviously human eyes.
Yeah. It throws you around in a sexy way, not in a threatening, aggressive way.
And the eyes are slightly uneven.
Yeah, it's just,
and there's something that's attractive about that somehow.
Yeah. Are you listening, Mila Kunis?
Because it throws you off a little bit. But I was watching through the window in the lobby here. They were showing Karate Kid. And even just without sound, I'm like, I love the original Karate Kid.
Did you identify with it?
Of course I did. With Daniel, who didn't? What dorky kid didn't identify with?
Well, that, for me, it was, I identified with the skeleton guys.
Yeah. Billy Zabka.
Yeah, I was a big bully as a kid.
And you were so for you, the movie was a tragedy.
It was exactly. It was a hero's journey until about, I don't know, near the end.
Well, you know what was it? Okay, the interesting thing for me about Karate Kid was that the movie was fun and it was satisfying and the crane kick and everything, but it wasn't until part two where you finally got to see the satisfying conflict between Miyagi and Kreese.
Yes.
That should have happened in the first movie, but they didn't.
Is Miyagi...
They had to save it.
Did they know? Do you think they knew they were going into two?
But it wasn't even that satisfying. I don't think they did, because I don't know if they expected that. That was before the movie industry was like... All right, we're going to make three of everything.
Right.
It just happened to be a huge hit, so of course they made a sequel.
We got to lock down Macchio for a three-picture deal.
No, it's never going to go past one.
If you can get him out of his Crossroads contract, I don't know.
I
make him play guitar to get out of it.
I tested for a show like three or four years ago, and the room was... I tested for it once, and they didn't like any of us, and they brought me back the next week. It was me, Rob Benedict, and one other guy was like, TV guy was like always sort of in the mix for stuff. The other three people were Fred Savage, Chris Kattan, and Ralph Macchio.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
So, and Ralph is in his 50s now, probably. And he just looks like a slightly underslept 28-year-old.
Yeah, he really looks good.
He looks amazing, just a little tired.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Because he was a bit older than Daniel in the movie, right? And that was the thing about him is that...
Yeah, well, he was like, I was asking him, I was like, well, he lives in Long Island. And he was like, I come out here for gigs, and he had flown out for this particular test. And he was like, yeah, I only lived in L.A. for a brief moment. He's like, I won a contest to be the new kid on... Eight is Enough.
Whoa.
In the last season of Eight is Enough, when they were like, new Oliver, you know what I mean? Or whatever, they needed something. So
turns out eight isn't enough. We need nine.
Yeah, eight isn't enough.
Eight is not enough.
Yeah.
We need another kid.
How about a weird Italian kid from Long Island?
He does not belong with this white bread family. They found him under a pasta shelf.
Dick Van Patten.
I'm talking about Dick Van Patten.
It always ends, though. Dick Van Patten. That's how the song always ends.
I think it'd be really cool if they did. I think Eight is Enough could be this consistently recursive immortal family where Dick Van Patten begins to Benjamin Button and then starts to age backwards, and they all just kind of keep going.
And they
back
keep finding
and forth.
Kids.
It's
the ebb and flow, the tides coming and in and out. And the moon
it's sort of an allegory for nature and the renewal of the planet. And
I believe that.
I'll give you 13.
And then then he said, Machu
never
said.
Never heard those words before.
All right, I'll give you 13.
Never heard those words.
13 is enough?
13 is exactly enough.
And then he was like, and then I shot The Outsiders.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
He's like, I did this movie called The Outsiders. I was like, and then he basically did that and then like moved back to Long Island and like came out when Jobs came up.
I think that'd be really cool to take an old property I'd like to do the Crazy Billionaire game.
Okay, go ahead.
Crazy Billionaire game. I would take a property like A is Enough and then take it, but then make it like supernatural. Like do some sort of a weird... Just take old properties
Here's
and throw
the thing
them into a different
with
genre.
Crazy billionaires. They're always doing like things that are pretty cool. Like the guy who wants to build the Titanic. He wants to build
Titanic 2.
Titanic 2.
Really?
Australian billionaire.
By 2016, right?
Yeah, it's coming pretty soon.
Really?
Yeah, he's building an exact replica of the Titanic.
Did he see Titanic 1?
No.
This one ends. He never got the third reel because he has the projector. And he's
of course, because he's just maniac billionaire.
I get it. It's a great goddess.
Yeah.
I got to build this.
I get it. It's a love story, class thing. I got it. Turn it off.
Yeah. No, you really probably want to watch the last 10 minutes. Yeah.
No. This is fine.
No. I'm Australian, but I got that New York accent guy coming in, and I got to finish it off.
I bought a new tongue, and now I talk like this.
I bought Pacino's tongue.
I'm a billionaire. What are you going to do? Cut to Pacino and, like, Devil's Advocate 2.
Yeah.
Hey everybody, where's the devil all at these days? Oh, I'm the devil now, am I?
What we need is somebody like Warren Buffett, perhaps. Maybe he just has a contest one year where he's like, hey, this year at Comic-Con, you write an essay about what you do with my money, and if it's crazy enough, you win it all.
And if it's sort of like in Benjamin Button's Eight is Enough thing,
then we're okay.
Instead
of malaria charities, I'll give it to you.
Boy, that'd be fun. If you just had like an extra $1 million, then you could be like, any crazy idea, I will do it.
Do you know how far $1 million goes now? Not very.
Far enough that if you had a dumb idea that you could still do something with $1 million.
Now, I just want to clarify, too. Are you saying to use that money to develop a show or to actually create a...
Just a weird whatever.
Okay.
If someone's like, I want a helicopter shaped like a gorilla, then you would
make
a gorilla copter.
You can't do that with $1 million.
Okay, fine. So but whatever the amount of money is...
You could do a gorilla shaped like a helicopter.
Yes.
I think, right?
Yes, but it can't fly.
Basically,
yes.
Just shove a fan into a gorilla's back. Call it a day.
Done.
And then just use the $35 for like legal fees against the ASPCA.
That's where they get you. It's not. Yeah. Here's what you have to understand: the making of the gorilla copter is surprisinely inexpensive and easy. But then there's the legal fees.
It's the litigation.
We've become such a litigious country.
PETA comes after you.
That you can't just make. You can't just turn animals into vehicles like the old.
You're like ethical treatment. You know what's not ethical? Leaving this gorilla on the ground.
You know, you just all.
Oh, what do I have to do? Give up my cheetah cycle now?
And all you do in the trial is just cite the Flintstones as evidence.
Your Honor, these animals were mostly happy, but they had jobs.
Yeah. They were excited to get a salary. It's a living. Is that what he said?
Well,
that's what they said a number of times.
It's
right?
A living, or you think you've got problems.
Oh, okay.
Was another one. Or my sinuses, like the mini mammoth vacuum cleaner.
That one had the worst job,
I got
right?
A fist fight with my friend Andrew Goldberg growing up. We got in a fist fight in the back. We were visiting Cooperstown with his parents, and we were playing that name game where you had to like sing a song with a man's name in it. And he said in the Flintstone, with the courtesy of Fred's new feet or something like that.
Feet?
With the courtesy of Fred's feet or whatever it was, because, he would run in his car, and that's how he'd power the car. I was like, that's not the line. He's like, that's the line. And we just had been two 13-year-olds in the back of a car together for, like, a week and just started pounding one another.
So just the pubescent hormones turned into rage.
Yeah, over whether Fred Flintstone's feet were used as propulsion for his car or not.
Well, they definitely started the car, and then through some sort of weird, unexplained momentum, because really the drivetrain on that car basically was just two solid blocks of concrete not connected to anything
They weren't pouring concrete then.
They weren't?
No, it was stone. Stone.
I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right.
Come on, guys.
I'm realistic about it.
You want another fucking fist fight to break out over the Flintstones?
They were perfectly. They were cylindrical carved chunks of stone that weren't really held on by anything, or there was no system. They wasn't going downhill, so the
inertia.
He just had really powerful feet.
Incredibly powerful feet.
With the
which is why the John Goodman casting was perfect.
Oh,
this man's got powerful legs.
Oh, the Flintstones.
Been carrying Roseanne for 10 years.
What podcast?
In about an hour.
There's no podcast.
Oh, good.
We're just hanging out.
Oh, good. I don't have to be on?
Nope. Oh, my God. I've never seen Nick like this before.
Can we just talk about toast?
Sure.
Yeah. What's your preferred toast?
Wheat toast.
You go to a diner, you like a wheat toast?
I like wheat toast. I do like white bread, but I feel like white bread, if I don't eat white bread, then it's somehow a victory.
Yeah.
Like it's somehow I've eaten healthy.
I used to, in college, make I would get like the soft, like Wonder Bread.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing
the greatest most bread in the world. Yeah.
Chemically filled, deliciously soft bread. And then I would put a layer of barbecue potato chips on them and then eat, because I liked the crunchy, soft thing.
Yeah. No mayo, no nothing.
No, just barbecue potato chip sandwich.
Texture guy? Are you a texture guy?
I'm a texture guy, but I also like the flavor. The flavors complement each other really well.
Yeah. The natural flavor of a Wonder white bread.
And the natural flavor
of like a Lay's barbecue chip.
You can tell a lot about a culture by what flavor their chips are, because chips are are the most popular cultural flavors condensed.
You know that they've made a chicken and waffles Lay's very recently.
Have you tried it? I have not yet tried
it. I love chicken and waffles. So I'm hoping that the chip.
But the texture of that is kind of what's fun about it.
Yes, you got that crispy skin and then that moist meat and then that doughy, like, syrupy waffle. So just put that
on. There's two other flavors, too,
right? There is a sriracha.
Yep.
And then something else.
I wish we would get ketchup-flavored chicks.
That's a Canada thing, right?
It's a Canada thing. Ketchup chips. And dill pickle chips are the pickle flavored chips are fucking amazing.
Ooh, I'm a salt and vinegar chip.
Me too.
Yeah, we are.
What's your favorite salt and vinegar? I like a kettle.
I always was a Cape Cod salt and vinegar. Oh,
those are really good.
On. And then now I'll do a kettle. There's some chip that's everywhere. Every
Miss Vicky's?
Office, Miss Vicky's, and who's eating the jalapeno chips? Nobody.
Never.
At the end of the day,
it's a huge stack.
That's why they're always available, because no one wants jalapeno chips.
Nobody wants them. Just double up on salt and vinegar.
I want a potato chip that'll make me shit a lot. I'm tired of having to go right to the source of the jalapenos to destroy my stomach.
Oh my God. I won't eat them. I will.
I think it'd be fun. I think you could almost kind of make like a, you could almost build a sandwich out of potato chips.
Oh, that would be great.
Just have plain chips for the bread and then a layer of your flavor, like a condiment flavor, like ketchup, and then a couple pickles. And then if you go to London, you can get beef and onion.
Oof.
There's a beef and onion.
Are those good?
Yeah. No, they're not good. It's like licking a bouillon cube. Like,
okay, just now you're getting me hard.
It's like licking a bouillon cube when you're smearing pre-cum over your dick slit with your thumb. It's just like that. You've done that.
Yeah.
It's the only way to eat beef and
onion. The efficacy with which you just said cover your pre-cum over your dick slit with your thumb. Like, as if you were just counting to four. It's impressive.
I don't understand what happened. What day is it? Where am I?
Oh, no, it's Potato Chip Tuesday. It's not Tuesday, is it?
No, Taco Tuesdays.
Taco Tuesday is great.
Let's do
a
Potato Chip Thursdays.
Okay, I'm on board. Any of these are good.
Nick Kroll, the Nick Kroll Show got picked up after the second episode, right?
Yeah.
That's fucking rad.
Thank you.
Did you have did you know kind of going into it like this?
I would love to paint it as if it were just a crazy, just like, you know, comments on them very supportive of it. We also just had like, Kreisel goes back to Portlandia. I go back to the league. We needed to get back to work. If they wanted to make a second season, we needed to really get back to work on it. And they've been very supportive from the beginning. And so. I would obviously when you make one of these things, you hope that you get a second season. And we waited so long. We've been wrapped on the show since July. Like, we've been just sitting on it forever. Like, not wrapped, locked. Like, we finished. Like, we've just been sitting with those episodes for a long time. So it was a very nice vote of confidence, but also a very logical one.
Okay. Well, when you're doing that kind of show, do you feel like, oh shit, I just blew through a bunch of A-list stuff the first season, now I gotta come up with all this stuff?
I mean, in a way, but really, like, because there are so many different shows within the show, we feel like we had just begun to touch on all of these things. So it's like, oh, there's so many more stories to tell with each bit. Like, oh, we've just started telling Rich Dick stories, or Dr. Armand, we have all this whole crazy storyline, or the publicity stuff. Or,
and Billy
oh,
Joel
hello.
Has lived a life. Young Billy Joel can keep going.
Yeah. So we feel like there was no shortage of storylines for season two. And we have some new stuff, but really we're going to continue building out like Wheels Ontario, things like that, that we just touched on in season one. Does that make sense?
No, I don't understand.
Let me tell you how stories.
Tell me, what's that word you just used?
Stories. Yeah, close. It's pretty close. It's close enough.
We should have a vowel at the end of a word that just makes you go, it's still weird.
I would do it.
Probably like an A with where the back curly Q just swirls around.
Just keeps going?
Yeah, like a little piggy tail.
I feel like the character Liz does that corner. She'd be like, weigh-in.
Do you ever have... Now, I feel, Nick, that your brain just always has access to the comedy.
Mm?
And there are some days I just feel... like my brain just feels like grits, where it's just like I can't form a thought.
Really?
At the end of the day. Yeah.
I have those moments for sure. I mean, it's surprising. I think we all can fake it. You know what I mean? Like there are moments where you're like, I think, yeah, there are days where you can kind of fake that idea.
Are you faking it right now?
I was saying hello to Lizzie Cooperman, maybe.
Yep,
is that her name?
You were.
Oh, was it her?
I think it was Lizzie.
It was.
So there are moments where right now what's been interesting and is we're writing season two and I'm promoting season one and you know, in various forms. And so there are days where I will go into the writer's room and feel very frazzled and very disconnected at moments because I feel like there are various my brain is focusing on various things as opposed to just sitting down and writing all day.
Are you getting to the point yet where it's like, oh, now comedy's a responsibility? It used to just be like a fun thing. Uh-huh. And now it's like, now, I mean, it's awesome that it's your job, but sometimes you're like, fuck.
Yeah.
Now this has to be good.
Yeah, my show I feel less about that with. It's more now being like, you got to go do that appearance that, you know, they sent you a script for and that normally I would have had time to punch up and really think over. And now you're just like going in and doing it and you're like, I didn't give the attention that I used to be able to give to something like this. But with my show, like, there are scripts that have moved along. We're getting closer to production. And I'm like, I've read these through and pitched on them, but I haven't really put my fingerprints all over them yet. And I'm not like a crazy, like, this has to reek of Nick Kroll. but I just need to be able to, you know, get in there more. And there is that time. But there are moments where you start to feel spread thin, you know. But I think it's still the Kroll show never feels like, I got to go back and go through this again. That it is pure. I mean, any job has their moments where it's frustrating, but it is the closest thing to like pure creative joy that I've ever had, I'd say.
Are you getting to workshop any of the characters at live shows? Do you have time to do that at all?
I'm gonna need to. Like, we're doing a new. I'm doing a new character that we'll do for season two that I have not done live at all. That I will now in this next 2 weeks before we start production go and try to workshop just to like get the accent and voice down and point of view stuff. Because in the past I've been able to do that and so I'll hopefully be able to sort of, because I do find that is a useful tool to see like what audiences respond to, what he walks like. I mean, all this the kind of bullshit stuff that seems like bullshit, but then actually is quite useful to me.
How has the response been? Are people responding well?
Great. Like really very, very positively. And like, you know, but it is a broader audience. So, you know, I have a ton more people telling me that they like my stuff and really like the show. But I also have many more people telling me that they think I suck and I'm not funny. And within that, a lot of them, you know, are like stick to the league, you know, which I'm grateful for that they are fans of the league and came over or whatever and aware that, you know, it's not my show is not for everyone, you know, and just like there probably will be Kroll Show fans who aren't going to be like, I love the league. You know, I think like the idea that people don't understand is that that's fine. Like, you don't have to watch. You don't have to watch both shows.
Yeah.
Or you don't have to watch any of my shows. I don't love when you go out of your way to tell me that you don't like my shows. There doesn't seem to be a huge purpose to that because I'm not going to really change what I'm doing.
Right.
It just seems to be a slightly, you know, mean thing to do.
Yeah, that's
pretty much. You got it. Yeah, nailed it.
Yeah.
There's no shortage of that. I got one that cracked me up the other day was... I wish Apple would create a 4-minute skip function on the podcast app so I don't have to listen to your horrible intros. I'm like, You don't. You just don't have to listen
at
all.
Yeah, you don't have
to. It's so easy to avoid a free show.
You don't have to. And it's a free show.
I got one in Texas before the show, but I didn't see it until after the show, where the guy said to me, I'll be, if you go out on stage, I'll be to the left not laughing.
Oh, God.
Like, I didn't see it until after, thank God I didn't see it until after the show.
That's so wild.
I saw it after the show, and I, like, started talking to the guy. I was like, so how'd it go? He's like, all right, you got me a couple times.
Nice!
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's this weird thing, because, like, I don't really acknowledge people. I used to not answer anyone on Twitter, because I sort of was like, I want this to be a one-way medium. And then I realized, like, in doing the show, that a lot of people reach out with very nice things.
Absolutely.
And I'm reading them. So there's no reason why I can't say thank you or engage them in a polite manner. I don't tend to engage the negative people, although there are moments where I'm like, people be like, I'm a fan of the league. I love your stand-up. I can't stand your show. And I'm like, that's impossible. Because 80% of the words coming out of my mouth on the league are something that I have in very directly or indirectly formed.
Sure.
My stand-up is my stand-up. And my sketch show comes largely out of my stand-up, or my stand-up comes out of my characters in my sketch show. So it's like, but I can't get into a logic war with people.
No, if you look at my at replies to people, it usually is like, thank you, I appreciate that. You're nice too. Great, that's awesome. You don't have to listen, dick neck.
Yeah.
You know, like,
so you engage. You engage.
Yeah, I do engage because I don't know. I just feel like that's sort of the point of social media, and it's not, and as much as I sometimes engage the negative people, I make a point to try to engage way more on the positive people, so that it's not like, because then it's not fair to people who are really supportive. They're like, why are you giving all of your attention to the dickheads?
I should be,
I should do that. I'm much more comfortable dealing with the, and not even just like the being like, hey, thanks for complimenting me, because the fun thing about this show is like how many people have gotten creative with what they're noticing and creating things about the show, and that kind of stuff is like really fun and exciting to see things start to like live their own lives, you know. So I want to encourage that because it's fun to see people create off of the things that you've worked on. Or notice little things like a guy today was like, hey, in Wheels Ontario. Tunes is this little Asian girl in a wheelchair is listening to a song, and the song is this Black Eyed Peas parody that we did called Beats and Rice, and like that's the song she's listening to in the sketch. And he's like, hey, has anyone noticed? And I was like, no one has noticed that. And I love that you
is the show
that up.
Full of little Easter eggs
it's
like that
full of it like that's what the show is like. Everything is connected. Like Dr. Armand is listening to Young Billy Joel in the kitchen. Everybody's on the San Diego diet. Like, there's all this can I finish stuff from this. Like, everything is interconnected in within episodes and then throughout the season. So, like, the goal is that people rewatch and find these little rewards, you know?
Did you do an AMA?
Yes.
How was it?
That was really interesting. I'd never done one before. And I'm not super familiar with Reddit. So, like, some of it, like, a lot of great stuff. A lot of, you know, some people saying they hated stuff, but really fascinating. You know, you've done them before, obviously.
I did one a long time ago, and I might do one again soon.
What did you think?
It's been about a year and a half. I loved it. I mean, it's I think as long as you go into it with the mindset of like, well, I'm just gonna, no matter what, I'll try to answer, and like even the negative ones, I would respond because I feel like that's what it's for. Like you're responding to, you have to sort of. I think the people who get in trouble are the ones that
Woody Harrelson.
Yes.
What did he do?
Well, okay. So he did an AMA for this movie that was coming out last year.
Yeah, I don't even remember which.
I remember
movie
what
it was
called? Yeah. And someone said. I don't remember what the accusation was.
I'm pretty sure it was
Rampart.
Hey, no, someone. So
it was Rampart. Yeah,
yeah. Someone said, "Hey, my girl, this girl I know was at prom, and then you came and partied with everybody in a hotel room, and then you slept with her." Blah 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 blah.
It was something along those lines. I don't know if it was that he slept with her, or that something happened.
Something to that.
And then they got into trouble because it was clear that it wasn't like Woody Harrelson said, I should really do an AMA. Someone's hip PR person was like, hey, Woodster, you got to do one of these AMAs because this is where the audience is. And so they just kept, it just kept clearly not Woody Harrelson. Like, hey, guys, you know, let's just keep it about Rampart. And once you try to tell Reddit, once you try to direct them, it's over.
Right.
And so they basically upvoted that question to the top. And it just became all about this little scandalous thing that was way worse.
Yeah.
Then even if he had just said, like, why don't, you know, I don't remember that.
He could have been like, that's crazy. Yeah. I don't remember that.
Yeah. I mean, my responses to the negative stuff on that AMA were, it always, almost always was like, thanks a lot, buttfucker 3000. Like, because every one of the guys, like, I was like, my only comeback is just writing your handle back to you, because that to me sums up who you are.
Right.
Because it was like literally always that. Like, humongous, dungus, like, whatever, you know, it was just, I was like, all right, this is how I'll deal
with
it.
But then there are so many, like, weird little rules and sub-memes and so many things that, like, if, you know, if someone says, hey, I hate your shitty-ass shit show or whatever, and then you look close and you see his screen name is, like, the guy who says shit all the time, then you realize that the question that he's asking or the question they're asking
bit.
Is part of a bit.
Yeah.
And so there's so much to pay attention to. You know, like, there's a lot to
and
pay attention to.
And it's coming at you, and I was like, I did it for, like, an hour and a half.
You could,
like,
do it for 10 hours and not get through it.
I was getting stuff being like, why are you abandoned? I was like, because I wrote at, like, after, like, 2 hours, I had to go to work. I was like, hey, guys, like, I'm going to sign off, but this was awesome. But then people kept... You know, I went back and it was still going.
Yeah.
But it was cool. My buddy Gary, who I went away, like, I'd gone on vacation with, and my high school buddies. Like,
Gary Coleman,
corpse of.
Like, great.
Is it weird that I traveled to South America with the corpse of Gary Coleman?
No, I mean, you can check it. It's under 50 pounds. Right.
At this point, it is. But it honestly is.
It was a weekend at Gary's.
You guys. The only way I could get into Bolivia is with the decaying corpse of Gary Coleman.
It's a weird, they're well, very weird rules. If you want a visa, you have to produce.
By the way, speaking of 80s movies, that's an amazing performance on Bernie's part.
Oh, yeah, totally.
It was great.
That guy plays dead perfectly the whole movie.
Yeah, that's all he does.
Jason Wallner is in that movie.
What?
Jason Wallner, director of Human Giant and Eagle Heart and a ton of stuff, was a child actor, and he's the little pissy kid at the beginning. Who's like he's digging up, like, Bernie is like in the sand or whatever, and like Jason's like this little, like, punk ass kid, and he's digging him up, and the guy's like, hey, stop it, and like Wallner looks in and is like, up yours, and like gives him the finger and runs away.
Oh, Wallner Easter egg, and we get a Bernie. So what happened with your friend Gary?
Oh, he was like, he's like a guy who does like real estate and works in New York. A really smart guy, but also like a regular guy. And he was like, yeah, I love Reddit. I go to Facebook. I go to, you know, I go to HuffPo. I go to da-da-da. And I go to Reddit. And like, that's where he gets a lot of his entertainment and news. And then they were like, do you want to do an AMA? And I was like, well, if Gary, who's a guy who I would want to like watch my show and is because like a smart but normal dude... you know, I was like, oh, maybe I, you know, and so I did it, you know.
I
love Reddit, but for every Gary, there's 5 buttfucker 43s.
I think it's, well, I guess that's true. They're definitely, I mean, it's easy pickings for trolls because
completely anonymous.
Well, of course, but
feel like Reddit sort of polices itself.
They do. And the thing that I really like about it is that they're genuinely fucking smart, hilarious people.
Yeah.
And you just watch a premise evolve. Like, it's one of the most interesting, like, writers' rooms you could ever see. And then you're like, fuck, but, you know, like, by the fifth comment deep on something, and then it's evolved into this amazing bit, and people are interacting with each other. I love that part of it.
It's pretty fascinating. I got to get on there more, because I'm interested in it. I'm also just curious, as we talk about all this, like, because I'm just like, is this encouraging trolls, which is not a term that I've used a ton, but, like, is this talking about them, power? Does that give them power?
We always come under that sort of, we wonder the same thing all the time. We talk about them to a point where we're just like, are we just doing what they want us to do?
Well, if you call them out by name, you probably are. Like, if you say who they are, then you're giving them attention that they probably want. But it just, as a phenomenon, it's not gonna...
It's an interesting phenomenon, and it is very unique to now. It's very unique to the time that we are in, the internet troll.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, but to go to the other side of that, like, it has been an insanely pleasurable thing to have people, like, get on board with things on the show that I thought they would like, but also like me and John Mulaney doing Oh Hello, crazy Upper West Side middle-aged, you know, divorcees are obsessed with Alan Alda, and like doing a prank show called Too Much Tuna, where they deliver too much tuna fish to people, and it's ridiculous, and it's like the most unrelatable thing to a Comedy Central audience, and people have like really taken to it, you know. In addition to the stuff that like I something like Bobby Bottle Service, which I'm like, oh, that people, oh good, people do like him, continue to like him, and it grows, but seeing people gravitate to some of the weirder stuff is like really, really pleasurable.
Was destined to have a
movie.
No, a ghost hunting show.
Yeah, right.
Right? It really like, it always is. I mean, seems it's so like close. The evolution of.
Yeah, I mean, those guys are basically Bobby Bottle Service yeah. in real life. The ghost hunter shows. It's crazy.
Why are they still on?
I don't know. There's more and more every day.
It's crazy. It's really crazy.
I actually kind of like the Duck Dynasty.
Duck yeah. Dynasty. You I know, mean, those guys all walked by the window the other day when we were here.
I was on the soup with them, and they were so sweet. And the mom was like, "We are the hugest Walking Dead fans." And I'm like, "Oh, you're
really?"
Adorable. And they're because they're
from nothing, or were they like middle class, made this business plan and blew up? And
I don't know. I guess we'll never find out.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what their deal is, but I just know that it's the show is really good-natured. Like, it's a fun.
Yeah.
It's not a douchebag reality show. It's like, hey, they're fun characters, yeah. and they like I don't care how true it is or not true. Yeah, they're just fun,
here
and it's
are
a
the
silly.
Premises, and we'll play yeah. them, and it's not about
for that
like,
for yeah. that kind of show. It's kind of delightful.
Yeah, and that's the funny thing is like there's no parodying it. They're already sort of. A yeah. parody of themselves.
Yeah, I think they are aware yeah, that, you
yeah,
know,
yeah.
everyone in but that county has the beard.
Very smart. But then, like, and then the wives are, like, pretty hot.
Yeah, they're all right. They're yeah. all right. They're all right.
I'd be psyched.
Everyone's pretty cool. Yeah. Okay, real quick. Really embarrassing thing that you've never admitted before. Go, Matt.
Oh, God, hang on. I have to think of something I've never one. Admitted.
Okay,
because,
Nick.
Yeah, go.
I pee my bed like every other year. And not drunk, just like in my sleep, need to pee, and so I pee. And I like it's like every couple years mm-hmm. I pee my bed.
Are we due? Is it like an earthquake? We're like, oh, I haven't
yeah,
had
we
one in a while.
Are probably
is tonight the night.
Tonight might be the night, ladies.
Has anyone been in bed with you when that's happened before?
No. Luckily I am incapable of intimacy. So
that's never an issue.
No, it has not happened. It's like, and it's not crazy. It's not like drunk. Like I peed myself last night. It's just like I just in my dream. I really needed to pee, so I peed.
I heard if you pee in a dream, you pee in real life, just like in the Matrix.
Yeah, exactly. Whenever they disconnect me from the fucking portal, whenever yeah. it happens, I don't remember that.
If moment. You're peeing in the Matrix, you're
do
actually
you
peeing
have
real.
A thing.
I do have a thing.
What is your thing?
One time I jerked off in a church.
Okay.
In
the church bathroom.
Okay.
It was almost like a weird spiritual experiment.
I had
Did it
one.
Work?
Yes, this weird baby formed from this
right from your dick slit.
Yeah.
Pre-cum on
just
the
like it came
out,
it came out like
slit?
Casper the Ghost yeah. and went, "Hello." And then turn into a boy that I had to catch and then re-consume. I had to eat him.
Oh, my
God. Yeah, otherwise he would...
You basically just ate a handful of your own cum.
Well, that's why I wanted to make it a prettier picture, but I guess that's probably...
Yeah, it works out, though.
Actually, I did not... I had a friend in high school who was like... he goes... We were kind of having one of those talks that you have in high school where you finally, like... strip away all the pretense of trying to be cool. And it was just like, all right, come on. We both admitted that it's a thing that we do. It's like the dude conversation.
Uh-huh.
And the one guy was like, well, you know, it's like everyone's probably tasted their own jizz. And I was like, what?
I've had the same conversation.
No, I haven't. And he was like, what? Of course you have. I'm like, no, I
Does
really
he eat
never.
It a lot?
No, I don't know what his habits were, but he definitely had tasted it. And he was like, it was, you know, it was like salt. I don't know. He's like, it was.
There are those trees that smell like cum.
The cum trees?
Yeah. You've never smelled a cum tree?
Oh, no. The white birch, yeah.
Is that what it is?
I don't know.
It is a tree. You walk by, you're like, somebody jerking off.
Did nature just jerk off on us?
No, I feel like everywhere there's that kid that tries it, so we don't have to.
I guess so.
And what you got?
Well, going off of yours, I once jerked off in the back seat of my parents' Blazer at a parking lot of an REI.
Oh, you mean really? A car, not your dad's jacket. Yeah.
You saw those carabiners and you're
no,
like,
no, I had the issue of Rolling Stone, the Spice Girls were on the cover.
Oh.
And I was like, I got to go to town on this.
Oh man, I had one where I had like a weekend. I hooked up with a girl like on a Friday and then a little bit on a Saturday, and there was no finishing to the situation. Yeah. And I then had to go to my friend's birthday, and it was like at like the Culinary Institute where you like cook dinner with everybody right. together, and then you eat the dinner. And like in the middle of cooking, I was like, I had my stomach. I had to, you know what I mean? The blue balls were like.
Balls of brightest blue.
You just start to see cum flow in your eyes.
And I like literally went to the bathroom at the Culinary Institute, like just jade one out on the turlet, and then went back out and finished like, you know, chopping celery and ate a meal.
Yeah, I want to mention that I was not an adult in this church scenario. I just went to Catholic school. And yeah. I was an altar boy.
I was an adult. In both situations, I was.
Yes, because yours at least started with a lady.
Yeah, I guess.
And I remember at the time feeling like it was. I was sort of at that point with my religion where I was like, God will forgive me.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, it's a nice place to be.
Look, there's been a lot of penis fondling in churches that were, I think, probably a lot more evil at their core.
I was trying to make up for that. I was trying to put some in the plus column.
So. I'm doing some good here, huh?
Yeah. Come on. I'm helping out balance the curve. Am I right?
But in retrospect, I don't think the back windows were very tinted. So I
no,
can't imagine.
No, you were in the Blazer.
In the parking lot.
Blazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
With the Spice Girls on the cover. Who were you looking at?
Jerry, mostly.
Really?
Yeah.
Because like, where were your parents?
Ginger Spice. Like inside the REI, the recreational.
Were you like? Equipment. I got T minus like five. Like, what were you?
I was like, they're in.
And you're like, I'm hanging in the car.
Yeah, I did. I said that. I think deliberately.
Can I ask you kind of a specific question?
Yes. I think it's the same question.
As you approached climax, who did you finish at?
Oh, it was probably Jerry again.
It was always
Jerry.
Ginger?
Since the beginning, it was always Jerry.
It was always Jerry Hallowell.
Not Baby Spice or Scary Spice or Gay Spice. You went straight.
Yeah.
I feel like it would be morally wrong to jerk off to Baby Spice. Like, right? Something about that feels like, I know she's a grown-up, but baby's in the name.
I know. Look, I get it. You know, I get it. That's how I am with One Direction.
Harry.
I always start and finish with Harry, but in the middle, it's a real toss up.
Well, then you're not going One Direction. You're going in many directions.
That's what I came on here to talk about.
a lot of your work with One Direction jerk offs.
Yeah, you know,
Kroll Show fine, League fine, but what I really want to talk about
is how I'm coming out to coming. To One Direction.
You're coming.
Yeah. I think so. I think that's fair. No, guys, just to clear the air, it's Bieber.
All the way.
That's the only one.
110%.
Boy, he's on his... I can feel the Roman Empire is beginning
really?
To fall. Yeah.
You think so? Yeah. I feel like it's getting stronger.
Oh, it will get stronger, but I can see that it's starting to crack.
What are the cracks that you're noticing?
There's a hostility to it all that I can just feel. I can see it's like we're not at Britney shaved head yet, but like I can just feel it. There's the tattoos are starting to build.
Oh, yeah.
Like I can just feel it. Like I'm putting a like T minus like what are we at March 2013. I say by summer 2014, we're like looking at the first like real meltdown.
So we're at DEFCON 3 right now.
Yeah, we got a little while, but I can feel it coming.
I feel like Miley did all right. She just chopped her hair off and got a couple tattoos, and she was fine.
She's okay. Yeah, she's okay, but he's bigger. There's a lot more pressure on him, I think, because at least her parents were in the business. Like there was some like there was like a setup for it all. Like I think, you know, I don't know.
Every time I see his mother, I go, really?
She's like 35.
She's like my age.
Yeah. And,
it's insane.
And he has a, like, probably like a sixth grade education at most.
But it's Canadian, right?
Right. So
it's actually
got a couple extra years on there. He's got an education through grade 8.
I don't know. I guess that could happen. I just feel like, you know, there's so much. How could there not be so much pressure on these kids to?
I'm not faulting
always
them for
be. And then, you know, we talk about the kind of trolls that we get, but can you imagine?
Man.
You know, there's just tons of people telling it. Like, when you're in that position, I assume people have sort of painted the picture of you that they think you are.
Well, right. I mean, he's going to deal with the fact that, remember when they saw the pictures of him smoking weed and there were girls cutting themselves for Bieber to make him stop smoking weed? Girls would go on Instagram, like, you know, I don't know how old these girls were, 14 years old.
Like, sounds like they need a little weed.
Just like start cutting their arms and go like, I'm cutting for you, Bieber, Justin, why are you making me do this?
Oh
like,
my God.
Why don't you stop?
Jesus
how
Christ.
Fucking crazy is that? Of course that kid's going to go mental.
Yeah, this is not a blame.
And then the parents are going to be like, Justin Bieber did this to our daughter.
Yeah.
You think maybe you should have hugged your daughter once in a while?
Just
we're not on trial
just
here.
Just one time.
Yeah. Who's talking about a trial?
Yeah, I am.
He's on trial. You're this whole town's on trial. Fuck you.
Yeah, I think it's I can't even imagine that level of it. But then there's the other side is the armies for them. That like the Taylor Swift, Michael J. Fox thing where it's just like they got in a tiff, not even a tiff, like he was like, hey, watch out with my son, like as a bit at the Emmys. And then that night, like all of her minions like attacked him in a crazy way where they like went after him to Michael J. Fox, like a Parkinson-ridden icon. You know what I mean? They like went after Michael J. Fox, and then the next day she gets on Twitter and goes, Michael called me. We're all good. Thanks for having my back. So
what?
She's in her own way like validating their attack.
Oh, Jesus.
That's where you're like, because it's also like, yeah, you're a 19-year-old. Like, it's not crazy that you'd have your friends be like, you're being a dick, and da da da. You know what I mean? But it's on a scale of like 20 million people.
Oh my God. Poor Michael J. Fox.
I know.
How many followers does she have on Twitter? Just
it's probably a lot. It's probably like.
No, I feel like
Bieber
10 or 12
has like
million.
34
I feel like it's
million.
More than we all think it is.
Yeah, Bieber, at last I looked, when I do every day,
as you should,
has like still, 34 million followers.
I still, in the wording of a Parkinson's
written icon.
One of many. What's the count?
I mean, I gotta look. Right?
You gotta get on there.
Why do you think people are so? Anne Hathaway bashing has gotten pretty popular in the last couple of weeks.
She makes it way too easy at this point.
Is it that? Because I think you and you know, I don't know her, and just from someone who has had shots taken at them with people making assumptions about. I want to be very open minded and not judge the girl, but what it feels like the issue is that. People are saying, like, she doesn't seem like a real person. Whereas, you know, like, you look at Jennifer Lawrence, who falls on her face, and she's like, I fucking fell on my face.
Yeah.
Like, she just seems it just seems like a person.
Yeah.
Well, that's why she's America's sweetheart.
She is America's sweetheart now.
Yeah.
I am a fan.
We all are.
But it's like, whenever you're America's sweetheart, then America just hugs you too hard, because that's what America does.
Yeah, I think you don't ever want to be the most adored person, because there's no way that you don't then become like an enemy.
Sure.
In some capacity.
Yeah, because people want to hug and then slash and burn.
I think so. You know what I mean? Like like the TMZs of the world, like I'm always like, how can I be friendly to you but also not be too, like how do I ride that line? Because I don't want to be anybody's enemy, but I'd also feel like when you become like someone who's the most adored, then you're likely there's a fall from that. There has to be a backlash.
Well,
I'm not particularly worried about becoming that person, but
I just wonder because, you know, I get accused sometimes of like, oh, you seem happy a lot of times. You're full of shit and you're fake. And I wonder, I'm looking at Anne Hathaway, I'm like, is that what it is? That they just think that she's not a genuine person?
I think actors, like straight actors, are really good at pretending to be people, right?
And they don't know how to be themselves?
Or they are who they are, and they either fill that role in a speech or something like that. But it's like, you know, just because someone's a good actor doesn't mean that, like, they're a charming person. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you wouldn't expect, like, a guy who's a great, like, aluminum siding salesman to be a like very accomplished singer. I mean, they're very different things, so I'm going to take my analogy back.
But a vinyl siding salesman.
But a vinyl siding salesman is records.
Records, vinyl,
but yeah, so I don't know. I mean, like, I don't know how it works. You know, she's amazing at pretending to be people.
What do you think it is, Myra?
With Anne Hathaway, I think that it is her. I think that she's just, she finds ways to be increasingly more unrelatable to the general public, I think.
Right.
Just with things that she, like, just the quotes that she gives in interviews. I don't think that having that boyfriend that went to jail for that $500 million Ponzi scheme was a helpful thing for her image.
But that, unfortunately for her, is just unfortunate.
But yeah. I thought people sided with her on that because she sort of got, people felt bad for her.
Yeah.
Like, oh, the guy, Connor, you're supposed to be in her.
Yeah.
$24.4 million, Taylor Swift.
Woo!
Yeah. I have met her once or twice, and she's been very nice. So I personally don't – I don't think people think she's a bad person. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem like people
I don't think she's a bad person.
She's a bitch or she's like me. You know, I just think that, you know, she just seems like the smartest girl in school.
Oh, gotcha.
I think that's what it might be. Like the girl who's like the class president and
– a little Lisa Simpsonism?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
I think she's kind of Lisa Simpson-y.
I figured it out, Chris.
Like, doesn't mean badly, just like people are like, oh, here we go again.
Right. Well, we figured it out.
You know how the rest of Springfield doesn't really like Lisa?
And James Franco is Bart Simpson.
No, James Franco is... Oh, is he Bart?
Don't know. He's not Milhouse.
And he's not Nelson.
He's not Ralph.
He's not Ralph. He's not, he's Uter.
Well, he could be any of them. He really transforms himself.
He could be any Simpson you want.
Yeah, maybe, I don't know if that's true. But again, she, you know, I don't think people think she's a bitch.
If the general public had an image of you that was not who you actually were, would you feel a need to show them, like, I'm not, or would you just be like, well, fuck it, I can't do anything at this point?
I don't know. I think it really wears on people when you watch, like, when you just watch, like, mega celebrities go through it. I think it's like, that's what I'm saying with Bieber, whether he's a good kid or not, like, just the wear and tear of that reality is gotta be bananas.
Right.
Like, you can't, like, you know, he's like, there is no reality there. Like, you're just getting escorted around from, like, you know, underground tunnel to car to, like, hotel room with cops, literally cops in front of your door.
He lives like a sexy ant. He just goes like a little anthill from this chamber to that chamber.
Yeah. I pictured an aunt.
And the only thing he's carrying is I was picturing it too.
All right.
He can carry twice his weight.
That's right.
In flat brim hats.
That's right. And he will always find a way to get into your house, no matter how much up all the
just
cracks.
The clothes that he wears are just stunning.
And the bean.
I know that song like a motherfucker.
I don't even know that song.
But just those, like, he's trying those pants. You know the pants with the low crotch pants. He's going for those.
He can't dance.
Society's fucking shitty though, because so many of those people could just turn on him for no reason, really.
Yeah,
like they can drive someone to do something crazy. And then be like, fuck
true.
You.
That's not true.
Yes,
there is no cure for Bieber fever. They'll never say fuck you.
Well, what you have to do is get the Bieber you have to get a vaccination. So we'd have to dissect him.
I got you.
To create the vaccination and then inject it.
Or we just rub a little of his pre-cum on our
dick slit?
Penis slit. Yeah.
All of our dick slits. Sorry, I'm inoculating myself. Oh, fuck yeah.
You're just jerking off in a church, bud.
No. All right, Chef Nick.
Yeah. You loser.
Yeah.
I'll be at REI.
the outdoorsman over here.
Yeah, those were good stories because all three potentially kind of risky. Yours is health risky. Mine is spiritually risky.
Right.
Yours is just like personal relationship risky.
Yeah, just there's any number of situations could have happened. happened.
Mine seemed the most, mine seemed like the most dire.
Yeah, yours like was necessary.
I needed to do
yours
that.
Yours was necessary.
You may have needed to do that.
Well, if
as
you,
well.
Yeah, if you've seen that cover,
yeah, I remember it. Those weird Anglican faces. Those little, like, perfectly inbred, symmetrical faces. Do you know what I mean? Baby Spice, just like Britney, you know, that like almost inbred, wide eyed.
I feel like they had like leather on or something, and it was like that was the. I'm trying to. I'm looking it up now just to see.
If you find it, are you going to start jerking off? If Nick and I were to walk
out,
I
mean,
for
we're
a
all
second,
agreed that that's what's happening, right?
His parents are waiting.
You don't
outside
need
in the
to
car.
Walk away. It's fine. I'll just pretend there's a.
That's part of it. That's part of it.
What?
That's part of it.
Without getting too graphic.
Yeah. What's up?
Where did
this was my question
resolve?
This was my question
before your parents got back.
Oh, you know, that's an excellent question, and I don't remember.
Like a sleeping bag that you just purchased.
I don't the old sleeping bag we were going to replace.
Yeah, an old Nalgene bottle.
Dad, a robber came in and came in the sleeping bag while you were gone.
A robber.
I think he was ethnic.
That's what kids think. He's called a
guy
robber.
Came in, didn't steal anything except my cum.
Some sort of reverse cum robber. He didn't steal it. He just left his cum in
Did
the
you
sleeping
get
bag.
No, I don't think so.
I got robbed
of my innocence. What? How did it? You don't remember?
I'm gonna guess it was probably in like the back pages of the magazine. I would assume, right? I mean, that's
the
what
classifieds.
You do. Yeah.
I mean, but in the back of like a family car, there's any number of things like an old tangerine.
Yeah, there's like you know
stuffed into a cup holder.
Old tangerine.
You know what I mean?
That old tangerine.
Like when you were a kid, do you remember that? I very vividly remember in the back of like our Dodge minivan, like the first minivan that we eventually called the Shitmobile. And I remember being like having like a peach and being like, yep, I'm gonna stuff this
you just
into this back cup holder and
forever.
I will leave it. And it like and it for weeks it was there.
Welcome to Nick Kroll's makeshift cum sponge. Today we're gonna take a variety of trash items in the back of a vehicle and turn it into a makeshift cum sponge.
Yeah, how I'm a 7-year-old who can come and get his own TV show. It will be covered next week on the show. Right now, I am the voice of an Australian billionaire. thrilled to be here.
I got Pacino's tongue. I'm going to come on that for a while.
Only cost me $3 million.
Yeah.
Everything you have to soak up your cum is in your vehicle right now. I would love to have an infomercial that had no point, but it just has infomercial energy.
That's
how would you
tip.
Like to come in your vehicle anytime you feel like it?
Has this now ever happened to you? You're a 7-year-old who can come and you got nowhere to do it.
Oh my god, the black and white reenacted videos.
That's what I was going. Some kid like, man, I don't know.
Yeah. And then for some reason he tries to cut a tomato with it.
He's like, oh, I can come in the tomato. Look at that.
For fuck's sake. That's a lot of fun.
You can come in a tomato.
It's a lot of fun, everybody.
Oh, good lord.
I gotta get going.
Well, we're almost at the end of our hour anyway, so this actually kind of worked out pretty well.
Yeah, I gotta go do Skyfall.
There you go,
Skyfall.
Oh, what comes next? We will come to
let's go. Next James Bond is just the gadgets are just things for him to come in.
Where should I come in this time, Q? You can come in the circle of my name. Q.
Okay. All right.
Come in right there. In the middle?
All right.
Just right in the middle.
Let's
right
just see if John Logan will maybe run another draft of that by the table, because that's not really a
is
gadget.
There another one? Are they already working on it?
Yeah.
Did you see the Aston Martin that he came in the most people just be talking about the cars and the gadgets in relation to, what are you showing of a picture of?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I get
that was
it,
the one.
Man.
That was
it's
the one.
Hot.
That they was
look,
the one.
They look
I didn't see it.
Hot.
It just
oh, fuck. You're getting the high-res version.
It's all, just quickly back to your
high-res on the Edge Network.
More cum related is
very blurry.
Your bit was the various gadgets that Bond can come into.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, that's not bad.
I like that. These are cufflinks, Mr. Bond. These are cufflinks that if you have an incredible amount of sponge material inside, so you can come right in.
We call them flesh links.
Of course, we have your Walther, which is set to your bio signature, so only you can come in it.
We programmed your big shaft to only respond to your own fingerprints. Wait, so nobody else can make me come.
Oh, I think I heard Adam calling. I better go.
And then he just throws a smoke bomb and then gets out.
Now, what do you think, quickly with that movie, do you think that Dame Judy, like, was like, got to page like 150 and was like, oh. Like, do you think she knew?
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like they were like, exit strategy time.
Is that how it works?
Yeah. I think they were sort of, she'd been doing it for 17 years.
Really?
She'd been playing M since 1995.
So that's a good run.
Yeah.
That's a good run.
Yeah.
Instead of retinal scans, you have to come into a door. I'm still doing the bit. That you can't. That's biometrics that you can't match. And then there's just these villains. Instead of like cutting people's eye out, they're just jerking them off into a vial. You can't kill someone to do that. You'd have to keep them alive.
They're like, all right.
You have to keep them alive to do that.
Yeah. Like, think right, about it.
The Broccolis, is that what their names are?
Yeah.
They're like, all right. I know that we wanted to bring a more of an American audience in, but this guy who just speaks so graphically about coming into doors.
Our market research shows that Americans are thoroughly cum obsessed. And so we're trying to make a Bond for America.
So we've
here's our new script. It's called Cum to Ball.
What are the other ones you could do? Cum Raker.
Believe me, I rake. I was in the brain. I couldn't. That was the one I came up with.
Yeah, this was a good Rolling Stone cover.
Yeah.
You know, it was all about Posh Spice for me.
Yeah?
Yeah. I like that. I like that.
Sweet Posh. Yeah, I remember her. I remember thinking that she was oh, she's right in the middle there. This is before she got too skinny and everything.
Yeah.
Creepy skinny.
Someone just texted you a picture of yourself. By the
what?
Way.
That's awesome.
I was looking at a picture of... I was looking at the Spice Girls about to blow.
And then
I come over Matt and I blow like a fire hose.
And then now you have a lot of stuff to figure out.
Now I got to go cook a meal for somebody.
Chris, you got to go pray. I got to go buy a sleeping bag. Let's do it.
Yeah.
This week on Cum Chefs. We're going to jerk off and cook a
Your
veal.
Your challenge today.
Secret ingredient.
Wait, what?
Secret ingredient is for the 300th week in a row.
Cum. Can it be somebody else's?
Nope. No.
Every week I eat food leading up to the cum. This is jalapeno flavored cum today.
Miss Vicky's jalapeno cum.
What I've done is frozen the cum and then sort of chopped it up, and I'm using it as a drink.
Well.
That,
no. You know, the show was really funny until the end when they just did all the cum jokes. I get it, guys. What are you, 15?
Yeah. Okay, we are.
Basically.
What show have you been listening to?
This is what we do for a living.
For the past 3 years. We take cum jokes and we spin them into gold. White gold. Kroll, when is the Kroll show on?
Kroll show is on Wednesdays at 10:30 after Workaholics. I believe it will be... when is this airing?
Almost immediately, either tomorrow or Monday.
Okay, great. So if it airs Monday, there will be one episode left.
Okay.
The eighth episode is next Wednesday, 10:30 p.m. after Workaholics.
Oh, and the date on that is March 5th
or something.
Yeah.
March 5th.
But yeah, it's on
March 6th. Wednesday, March 6th.
Yeah. Oh, so yeah, Kroll show's on Wednesdays. March 6th is the last episode at 10:30, and I believe Hulu is now starting to like release the older episodes from season 1 now, like with that delay. And then it's on. You know, you can go to my website nickkroll.com or Kroll show Tumblr.
Buy it on iTunes. Give him some money.
Buy it on iTunes.
Do it.
There you go.
All right. Good to see you, man.
Good to see you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Congratulations on everything.
I appreciate it.
Excited. The league's going back. All that.
Yeah. It's all very cool stuff.
Enjoy your cum burrito.
Thank you. Nick made it.
I'll eat it then.
Now leaving nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
Behind every successful business is a story, and some of them might surprise you. Like how Chobani's first yogurt factory was discovered on a piece of junk mail, or how the founder of the multi-million dollar cosmetics brand Drunk Elephant was told by everyone, including her own mother, that the name sounded like a dive bar. I'm Guy Raz, and on my show How I Built This, I talk to founders behind the world's biggest companies and brands to learn the real stories of how they built them. In each episode, you'll hear entrepreneurs share moments of doubt and failure and talk about how they were able to overcome them on their way to the top. How I Built This is like a masterclass in innovation and creativity, a how-to guide for navigating life's challenges from the people who've done it all. Follow How I Built This on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to How I Built This early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.